Good morning. Thank you for sliding on in here this morning. Get it? Ice sliding on in here. Maybe you prefer skating on in here, but it's good to have you all. Thank you for braving the ice to be here this morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. If you want to head on over there, that's where we're going to be stationed this morning. As was mentioned, Evelyn and Eden's grandparents are here. My parents are here. They came up from Alabama. Hopefully they'll be able to get home safe. They're crazy, if you didn't know. They're going to leave after the baby shower tonight. How crazy is that? They did it the last baby shower, so it's a tradition now. But it's so good to have them to drive 9 hours up here to see me. I know there's a little incentive in Reno, Arkansas. There's a nice quilt shop there that my mom really likes, but there's a lot of incentive when it comes to visiting your grandbaby. But it's good to have them here. It's good to be back. I'm just so excited to be here with you this morning and present this lesson from Acts chapter 2. This morning we're going to start off with one of the most famous lines in all of cinema. It comes from a 1989 film, Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. And in this situation, it was this line that was trying to tell this Iowa farmer, if you build this baseball field in your cornfields, then people will come, they will spend money, and you will save your farm. Well, church, I've got a guarantee for you this morning. And that is, if we are devoted, a devoted church like the Acts 2 church, if we are devoted to things that they were devoted to, then people will come. And God will save many. This lesson is the next lesson in a series of our 2018 theme entitled Added to That Number. We started off last month talking about how we want people to be added to the number of those who are being saved. And we looked at the time when the church began in Acts chapter 2, when Pentecost, the festival, was in session, and Peter got up there filled with the Holy Spirit and preached to the crowd, and how a massive number of people came to Christ, some 3,000 people. And how we kind of measured our expectations last month with that lesson, saying, you know, they had some advantages that we don't have in our day and time. They, first of all, had these fires of tongue over their head, and they were speaking in foreign languages where people from all over the Roman Empire could understand the message in their own language. Plus, they were speaking to a crowd that knew their Hebrew Bible. They were devout Jews. They had taken a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate this festival. And so they knew the Word of God, and they knew about Jesus. They knew about His teachings. And when Peter spoke, he connected the dots for them so that they could respond, and 3,000 could repent of their sins and be baptized that day and be added to the church by the Lord. And that was just an amazing thing to see. And I hope that through these lessons, as we see people coming to Christ and people being converted to Christ, that it will give us encouragement. As we see people with sincere hearts repenting of their sins and being baptized, that we will see that we can do that too. It might not be in the same amount of numbers as them in that time, but it can show us how we can reach the people around us. Now remember, church, last month I challenged you to think of one person as we're going through this theme, and think of one person you would like to reach out to this year, someone that you would like to study with, someone that you would like to talk a little bit more about Jesus to, someone that you would like to invite to church, as well as someone that you just want to spend more time with so that you have more opportunities to share your faith with them. And have that person in your mind as we go through this series. Now, for those who are non-Christians, I hope you don't check out on us, even though we're talking about conversion. In fact, I think these lessons will be so important to you to help you decide to make your decision about Jesus Christ, to understand why people in the first century responded in faith and repentance and baptism, and why they did that, and why they came to Christ. Maybe it can help you try to make that decision on whether you want to follow Jesus or not. And so I hope that for all of us, these lessons, this theme this year will help us greater understand our faith, or if you're not a Christian yet, to understand whether you want to follow Jesus or not. And as we get to Acts chapter 2, the latter part of the chapter, starting in verse 42. We see the Acts 2 church. And again, just like earlier in Acts, with 3,000 people being baptized, what we see is that the church continues to grow. In fact, in verse 47, it says, day by day, the Lord was adding to the number those who were being saved. They had daily baptisms. How awesome would that be? It kind of reminds me of the work that Vernon Curry is doing in India. Is he back yet? Does anyone know? He's back. Did we have a final number of baptisms? What was it? 95. Wonderful. I had heard 61 before, but obviously they were having, they were there 4 weeks, so they had more than one baptism a day. That is just amazing. I can't imagine the shock and the thrill that Vernon and his team felt as they went to India, to a place that was so responsive, coming from a place that people aren't quite as receptive. But that was what it was in that day and time. Now, we're not told how many people were baptized day by day in this verse, but we do find just a little bit later in Acts chapter 4 and verse 4 that the number reached about 5,000 people, 5,000 souls. So they increased by about 2,000. And just reading my Bible, it doesn't seem like that Acts 2, the end of Acts 2, Acts chapter 4 is a very long distance away from each other. It seems like it's a very short amount of time. But they were seeing amazing growth. And even though we might not have that same type of growth, I believe that if we follow what they followed in their time, that we too can have growth within our body of Christ as well. At the same time, we need to understand they had, just like earlier in Acts 2, they had some advantages that we don't have today. First of all, they had miracles. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 43, we see that there was awe among the people because of the signs and the wonders that these apostles were doing. And even though people in the first century, even though they saw, many people saw those miracles and did not respond in faith, I think most of us would say that's quite an advantage to have miracles on your side. For you to have someone who is lame and born lame and tell them to rise and they start walking and jumping and clicking their heels, you know, that's amazing to imagine what that would have done for people in the first century to confirm the message that the apostles were preaching. So they had miracles on their side, but also they were on their honeymoon, all right? They were on their honeymoon. It seems to me that a lot of people who had come to this festival and had responded to the gospel, they stayed a little bit longer there in Jerusalem. What that did is it allowed them to have more focus on their faith, to make sure that they knew their faith before they went back to their hometowns. They needed to know what their faith entailed before they went back and told other people about their faith. And so it seems like this was an intense period of time where they could study and learn and grow so that they could go and take the gospel throughout the world. And it's much like, I think, the honeymoon stage that we have for those who are married, that time is when we just totally focus on our spouse. We don't worry about anything else. We're just totally focused on our spouse. I believe it's much like a Bible camp that we go to. We're focused on learning about God and spending time with God's people. Or a lectureship. I just went to a lectureship. And having that time to really focus on the Word of God and to sit at the feet of people who know the Word so well is invigorating to our souls. So as we look at this church, we need to understand that they had such an amazing intensity there at the beginning. And we find really no indication throughout the book of Acts that these people were able to keep up this intensity all the time. It says there that they met in the temple day by day. They were meeting daily. And there's no indication throughout the book of Acts that they kept this up throughout their Christianity. Yet even though we might not be able to match their intensity in our day-to-day life, because the fact of the matter is we have work and we have kids and we have things we have to do throughout the day, that it makes it hard for us to meet day by day. Even though we don't have the ability to have that type of intensity, I believe that we can see principles in this chapter that can help us to be a healthy and growing church. Principles that if we do, not only will we grow spiritually ourselves, but it will add people to our number here at the Green Force Church of Christ. So what were they doing? What caused them to grow? We look here in Acts 2:42 and following, that they were devoted people. It says in verse 42 that they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to several different things. First of all, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were there trying to learn their faith and to be enlightened by the words of the apostles, to make sure that their faith was grounded in the Word of God. And if we want to grow in our lives, we know that we have to be dependent upon the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So if we want to have more faith, we want to increase our faith, we have to be immersed in the Word of God. I might have told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again. There was something I read within the past year. It was a study of about 150,000 Christians over, I think about 3,000 churches. And they looked at all these people at a wider range of people in their spiritual growth. People who were attending church, but who were not quite Christians yet. Those who were new babes in Christ. Those who were new Christians. And then they surveyed those who were very mature in their faith. Those who were Christ-centered in their actions. And the one thing, the one common thing throughout all of those developmental stages of their faith that would help them to grow in their faith, the number one thing was reflection, daily reflection on God's Word. If we want to grow, we need to be in God's Word day by day. And that's what they were devoted to do. That's who they were from the very beginning. But second, they were devoted to worship. We find in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they were devoted to breaking of bread, which is another word for the Lord's Supper. It's what we did this morning when we partook of the body and the blood of Christ, when we broke the bread and drank of the fruit of the vine, as we remembered what Jesus Christ has done for us, but also to celebrate what He has done for us as He rose from the grave, conquering death and conquering death for each one of us. And so we come together and we remember what Jesus did for us. It's the foundation of our faith. It allows us to have all the blessings of Christ. Just like Brad said, the blessings of peace, that all flows from the Lord's Supper and what we are commemorating. What are we remembering? What we are celebrating when we come and gather around the table. And so they broke bread. The first century, it probably was followed by the Lord's Supper was probably after they broke bread among one another and had a common meal with one another as they tried to have fellowship with one another. And we'll talk about that a little later. But also in 42, it says they devoted themselves to prayer. And as I thought about this one, I thought, are we people who were truly devoted to prayer? I told our leadership before I left for lectureship a story I read in a book a few years back. It's from Elflegard Smith. And it was a book about fellowship. And he went to, I think, England somewhere to work on some paper and research some topic. And he didn't have a Church of Christ near him, so he went to this church. And he had obvious disagreements with this church, but it really humbled him to go in that church, and someone came in. It was a sister in Christ came in and said that she had cancer. And instead of doing their worship service, what they did was they just said, we're going to pray for this sister. And they prayed for that sister for 3 hours. 3 hours straight they prayed for this sister. You look at them and I say, they are devoted to prayer. They believe in the power of prayer. And it makes me look at myself and say, am I devoted to prayer as well? And so these people in the first century, they were praying to God. They were speaking with the Lord. They believed in the power of prayer. But also as they worshiped, we see in verse 47, they were praising the Lord all of the time. It just flowed from their lips because they realized what Jesus had done for them. And how they were saved from their sins. They were a worshiping community. They were devoted and had a life of worship. But also as they devoted themselves to each other. Acts 2 and verse 44, it says that they had all things in common. And verse 45 explains that, what that means. He says that Luke reports to us that they were taking of their means. Whenever they saw a brother or sister in need, that they would sell their own possessions and give the proceeds to help that brother or sister in need. And as I think about that sacrifice, that selflessness they had to sell their own possession, to care for someone else, I want us to ask the question, what are we willing to sell for our brothers and sisters in Christ in need? What are we willing to sell in our life? Or maybe a better question, what are we not willing to sell in our lives? We might see some idols that we might have in our lives that are keeping us from fully being devoted to God and to our brothers and sisters in Christ. But they were selfless. They sacrificed for one another. They were generous with one another. Also, we see in verse 46 that they were breaking bread with one another all the time. And they were people who had each other in their homes. That's really what fellowship is all about. Fellowship is about sharing. And not only did they share their possessions with one another, not only did they share their food with one another, but they shared their space with one another. They shared their time. They grew closer to one another. They were united as a church family there in Jerusalem from very early on. And also what we see among these brothers and sisters is that they were devoted to their faith emotionally. They weren't just going through the motions. They weren't just giving out of begrudging hearts. Instead, what they were doing was they were being generous and glad in all that they did. You can just read through that passage and just see the excitement, the exuberance that they had because of their newfound faith. They were enthusiastic about their faith. You can really tell that the gospel impacted their heart. It affected their hearts, and it can be seen in their praising of God with glad and generous hearts and eating with one another and sharing one another. They were grateful for what God had done for them in Jesus Christ. This was a devoted church. These things that we see here that they were devoted to, I believe, are things that we should be devoted to as well. And as we think about these things they were devoted to, I think also we need to see the result of their devotion. The result of their devotion in Acts 2 is that they enjoyed favor with all of the people. They enjoyed favor with people around them, their community, those who were not a Christians who surrounded them. Now, pretty soon in Acts, we see that changes, right? We see persecution set in, even in the next chapter. And we see and know through the Scriptures that if we do want to live a godly life before God, and if we want to live for Christ, that we will be persecuted. If they hated Jesus, they're going to hate us, right? At the same time, though, I believe when we are devoted like they were devoted, we will have more and more people in our community that see us in a favorable light. When they see us so devoted and enthusiastic and sacrificial in our faith, they'll think to themselves, man, they got something going over there at Green Force. There must be something special about Green Force. Maybe I need to check out what they're doing there at Green Forest. That when we have the sacrifice and the devotion and the focus on our faith like they do, I believe other people will have favor with us in our community, even if we suffer for persecution. That we will still add to our number, even though we might be persecuted. And that's what we see throughout the book of Acts, is that even though they were persecuted, they continued to add more and more people from their community. It's because of their devotion that people started coming to the faith and being added to the kingdom of God. But the question for us is, are we devoted ourselves? Are we devoted like them? Now, we might not be able to meet with one another day by day. We might not have the intensity that they had. But just because we can't match their intensity exactly does not give us any excuse, zero excuses, to not have any intensity at all in our life. It does not give us any excuse not to have any level of devotion in our lives. Rather, even though we might not have their same intensity, we should still be trying our best to match their devotion and to be devoted to the things that they were devoted to. The question is, are we devoted to the things that they were devoted to? Are we just so hungry to know and understand the Word of God in our lives? Are we people that we cannot go a whole day without being nourished by God's Word? Are we people that are devoted to the worship, that we look forward to being together, that we are so excited to be together, and we're disappointed when things like ice and snow get in our way? Are we excited that we can be together, to worship together, to come together and to say to God, thank you so much, I love you, thank you for all you've done for me? And we look forward to singing with all of our hearts to our God and to edify our brothers and sisters of Christ. Do we look forward to that? Do we look forward to fellowship? Do we look forward to being generous towards one another? Do we like being around one another? And do we go out of our way to share space and time and even possessions with one another like they did? And finally, do we do it with all of our heart? Are we people who refuse to just go through the rituals, go through the motions, but we want it to hit us right at our core? And that we want to express our heart, a heart of thanksgiving and gladness and gratitude and enthusiasm to our God. Are we devoted to the things that they were devoted to? We might not be able to meet day by day, but I believe we can still have intensity in our lives as well. That we can still have devotion like they had devotion as well. And really, when it comes down to it, how do we expect to convince someone to have devotion to God if we ourselves are not devoted ourselves? How are we going to try and help someone come to Christ if we are not fully all in our faith? I think it's important for us to ask ourselves the question, because it's near impossible to convince someone to be all in their faith if we are not all in. To be devoted to the Lord if we're not devoted. So not only do we need to look at ourselves when we think about our devotion and say, see, am I close to God by my devotion? Am I truly giving Him the thanks and the actions and the attitudes that He wants from us? Not only should we consider ourselves, but we have to consider how other people see our lives. Because if they look at our lives and they don't see that we're devoted, it's very hard for us to then convince them that this is for them as well. They need to give their whole lives, every bit of it, their heart and all, to the Lord God. What's interesting about this situation in Acts chapter 2 is they didn't have a missions program. They didn't have an evangelistic outreach program. Now, we do see that later on in the book of Acts. We see Paul going on his missionary journeys. We see opportunities where they had a public forum where they're mostly talking to people who are non-believers. We see those things happen. What's interesting is that here, they're just focusing on being the church they need to be and helping each other grow. And just so naturally from that flows growth that God is adding to their number day by day. Yes, I think we still need to have mission programs and send missionaries across the seas. Yes, I believe we need to have evangelistic programs so that we can reach out to our community. But at the same time, there is so much growth that can come from our church if we're just who we need to be. If we are just devoted like we need to be devoted. If we just give our all to our God. That growth naturally comes from our devotion. We see that here with this church in Acts 2. How do they grow? Even though they might not be focusing on doing much evangelistic outreach, it was happening. How was it happening? They were hearing the Word of God. Maybe many of them invited their friends and their family members that were there and says, hey, you've got to hear about Jesus. You've got to hear these apostles. You've got to see the wonders that they are doing. Maybe many times they invited a non-Christian to be among their fellowship groups at their house and to have a non-Christian to come with in their homes and for them to share their faith. Maybe some of the people in the community that weren't Christians, that maybe they were benefited, maybe they benefited somehow from the benevolence. Maybe their friend or their relative was taken care of in their time of need by the church. Or maybe just because of the praise being so at the tip of the church's tongue that they heard about it. They had ample opportunities to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all those things I just mentioned that they probably did to bring people in are things that we can very easily do. And that is to invite our friends and family members to church. That is by sharing space with non-Christians and bringing them in within a group of Christians. That is also sharing of our stuff and sacrificing for one another. But also, I think, maybe at the core is us just continuously praising God. And if we have the praise of God on our lips constantly, people around us are going to hear the gospel message. And I believe if we tell it with all of our heart and show that we are convinced that God is worthy to be praised, that they too will see that there is something different about us. There's something different, something special going on at the Green Forest Church of Christ. Yes, we might not have the miracles today to inspire awe in front of all the people. However, I believe by our lives that we can inspire a lot of awe as well. I believe when people see us so enthusiastically and devoted so thoroughly to the gospel message, to knowing God's word, to being here for worship, to making it the priority in our life, by making sure that our whole life revolves around our faith, I believe when people see that, they will be in awe. And they want to know more about what we believe. So for us who are Christians, I want to encourage you more and more be devoted to the Lord. Be devoted to His Word. Be devoted to worship. Be devoted to one another. Be devoted with all of our hearts, telling God how much we love Him. And I believe if we do that, then we will grow. If we are devoted like they were, we will grow. We are devoted to the same things they were devoted to. People will come. Now, for those who are not Christians, I hope by our congregation that you can see a people who are devoted to Christ. And if you don't quite see us all in our faith, just understand that we're imperfect. And even though we are imperfect in our devotion, we still serve a perfect God that deserves all of our devotion. And I hope that you will see our devotion and that you will help come and grow with us in your devotion. Devotion to the Lord, the Creator of all, and the Redeemer of our sins. But as a church, let's challenge ourselves to be who we need to be. Let's challenge ourselves to be devoted to the things that they were devoted to. We might not match their intensity, but if we do devote ourselves to the things that they were devoted to, and to do it with all of our capabilities and our context and our situation, people will come and we will grow in the Lord. We will grow in our number. Let's pray together. Dear God, our Father, we're so thankful that you have made us your children. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have redeemed us from sin and you have washed us clean. And to help us to be at peace with you now and forever. Thank you so much for that gift. And forgive us, Lord, when we don't appreciate that gift. Forgive us, Lord, when it doesn't show up in our life. When we don't show appreciation and devotion to you for all that you've done. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to be more devoted to you. And I pray, Lord, that not only will we do this for our relationship with you, but we will do this for other people. That we will make sure that we are living our faith out loud so other people can see that we love you so much. And we love your people and we love your word and we want to serve you with all of our might. We pray, Lord, that the community will see that in our lives and that they will come and see what we're about and who we are and study with one of us so that they can have the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be devoted to you in all things. And help us, Lord, to show that in how we live our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe there's someone here this morning that wants to be devoted to Christ. We'd encourage you to do that, to devote your whole life to the Lord this morning. Or maybe there's someone here that has strayed from that devotion, that you have lost sight and that lost that enthusiasm for your faith, and you want to come forward and ask for help, ask for prayers, ask for us to walk with you. We'd love to do that this morning. If you have any need, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.